September of 1974, a young writer and his wife checked into a Colorado hotel on its last night of service before closing down for the winter. The hotel had fallen on hard times in recent years, and the pair were the only guests staying there that evening. So they were put up in the nicest room in the hotel, the Presidential Suite, room 217. In the middle of the night, though, the writer was jolted awake, nearly falling out of bed and dripping with sweat. Shaken by a nightmare of some unseen evil chasing his son through the halls of the hotel, he got out of bed and sat at the window to smoke a cigarette. By the time the cigarette was finished, he had the inspiration for his next story. That author's name was Stephen King, and the book he would go on to write was The Shining. It would become one of the most iconic horror stories of all time. The book was a bestseller, and some years later became a motion picture directed by Stanley Kubrick and starring Jack Nicholson, although King famously was not the biggest fan of the film adaptation. The tale of Jack Torrance and his stay at the Overlook Hotel has remained hugely popular in the decades since, and 51 years later, I found myself, along with my wife and daughter, checking into the very hotel that inspired that classic story back in 1974. This is the story of our stay at one of the most haunted places in the United States, the Stanley Hotel. The Stanley Hotel opened in 1909. It was built by inventor Oscar Stanley, who made his fortune first in the production of photographic plates and later by co-founding the Stanley Motor Carriage Company. Stanley had discovered that, after visiting the town of Estes Park, the mountain air and environment helped ease the symptoms of his tuberculosis, which had grown so serious that he was told by his doctors that he didn't have long to live. So he and his wife decided to lay down roots as a last-ditch effort to prolong his life. And not only did Stanley survive, but he lived to the ripe old age of 91, eventually passing away in 1940. The hotel was a stunning achievement and helped to turn the small wilderness valley into a booming destination town, attracting visitors from around the world, from President Theodore Roosevelt to the Emperor of Japan. These days, though, the hotel's reputation has changed, becoming more famous for its many supernatural guests rather than those checking in at the front desk. First, there's the story of Elizabeth Wilson. She was the head housekeeper at the Stanley, and in 1911, she was lighting candles in the hotel after an electrical outage when a gas leak caused a major explosion, destroying the room and sending Wilson falling through the floor to the dining room below. She was seriously injured, but eventually recovered and continued to work at the Stanley until her death in 1950. Almost immediately after her death, stories began to emerge of Wilson haunting the room where the explosion took place, tidying things up or pushing sleeping couples apart in bed. Some people think that trauma that she went through tied her somehow to that room. Room 217. The same room that Stephen King would stay in years later. Then there's Lucy. The story goes that she was a homeless woman who had been sleeping in the concert hall during a period in the 1990s when the hotel had fallen into disrepair. When she was discovered by the staff, she was forced to leave, and her body was later found, having seemingly frozen to death out in the elements. Lucy is said to still spend time in the room she had slept in before her death, whispering to guests and sending an ice-cold chill down their spine. And in room 428, guests claim to have awoken to a cowboy-like figure standing at the end of their bed watching over them. Some people think it's the ghost of Jim Nugent, an outlaw also known as Rocky Mountain Jim, who lived in the area back in the late 1800s. It was said that half of his face was horribly disfigured after a bear attack left him with one eye, and he was shot and killed after an altercation over the sale of a large piece of land in Estes Park to Lord Dunraven, the man who would eventually sell that land to Oscar Stanley to build the hotel. There are many other tales of hauntings at the Stanley Hotel, and just as many theories behind why the spirits are seemingly so active here. From tales of the hotel being built on sacred Native American land, to the theory that the winding staircase in the main lobby, with its large mirrors facing one another, creates a so-called vortex, which allows spirits to come and go from this world to the next. Whatever the truth is behind the hotel, whatever people might truly be experiencing during their stays, it is undeniable that the Stanley has become something of a mecca for those wanting to investigate the paranormal. And that was enough to convince us to pay it a visit and see if we could experience anything out of the ordinary. Arriving in Estes Park, your eyes are immediately drawn to the Stanley Hotel. It's probably the biggest building in the area, and it kind of overlooks the rest of the town. The bright white hotel with its iconic red roof is impossible to miss. As we pulled into the driveway, the property was buzzing with activity. Horror film fanatics and those interested in the paranormal roaming the grounds, quoting The Shining, and taking selfies in the hedge maze. A recent addition that the hotel added after fans of the film were constantly confused by its absence. To be honest, it was hard not to feel a little like we were arriving in some ghostly amusement park as opposed to a genuine haunted hotel. Walking into the lobby, I was immediately impressed. It's a gorgeous space decorated with one of the early automobiles that F.O. Stanley had created. I also experienced a bit of deja vu, as the lobby was very familiar to me being a fan of the Silent Hill games. The Lakeview Hotel from the end of Silent Hill 2 was modeled after the Stanley, and it's a dead ringer. We checked in at the front desk and dropped off our luggage in the room. Room 208, just around the corner from the infamous Stephen King suite. The room was nice, but perhaps in need of a little TLC. We went down and had dinner in the main restaurant off of the lobby, and as the sun started to set, we got ready for our tour of the property. Our guide filled us in on some of the history of the hotel, the story of F.O. Stanley, the visit from King, the filming of the Shining television miniseries in the 90s, and then we were off to our first location on the property, the concert hall. Originally built by F.O. for his wife Flora, the cozy venue has hosted musicians from Rick Springfield to Bob Dylan. After admiring the main floor, featuring its antique Tiffany light fixture worth over $3 million, we went into the basement where we heard the story of Paul, a former security guard who had had a heart attack and died in 2005 while shoveling the steps of the concert hall. He used to occupy a room in the basement and sleep on the couch in one of the side rooms, which is still there. Stories say that he'll occasionally make an appearance to yell at visitors to leave. He did not come out to say hello to us, though, this time. Then we entered the room that Lucy was said to occupy. This room had a different feel to it than the last one. There was a definite tension in the air, if that makes sense. Stories about Lucy say that she loved dum-dum suckers, and if you held one out to her, she might take it from your hand. So Samantha tried holding one out in the room, but we didn't get any response. The compartment under the stairs where she used to sleep before her death was pitch black, and the passage went back a long way. Even when using a light to brighten the space, I couldn't see all the way to the back. I used my phone to record about 20 seconds of video under the stairway, but when I was going through my video later that night, the clip was just gone. It wasn't even in the recently deleted folder of my phone. It was just gone. There's likely, you know, a reasonable experience for why it was missing, but it was still odd. After leaving the concert hall, we made our way back towards the main building, checking out the lounge where the men used to come to smoke cigars and play pool back in the day. The lights flickered above us as we looked at the large mirrors in the room, and old tattered American flags hung on the wall. We then made our way to the basement and entered what to me was the most unsettling part of the entire hotel, the tunnels. these passageways were used by the hotel staff in a time when it was considered unprofessional to be seen by the guests. As we entered the tunnels through the large wooden door, the mood changed almost immediately. The air in the tunnel was dry and cold, and the floor was made of dirt. The tunnel itself was stone on all sides, rough as if they had just blasted their way through the earth and left it as is. The only light was from a small flashlight that illuminated an old broken carriage and the century-old wooden beams holding the hotel up above our heads. Everyone was quiet in the tunnels, listening for any sounds and peering into the darkness beyond the flashlight's beam to see if anything or anyone would be looking back. Our guide told us stories of a pastry chef who passed away at the hotel and is said to roam the tunnels, the smell of fresh baked bread and pastries revealing his presence. And many visitors claim to have seen and heard children laughing and running through the corridor. He then showed us a couple of photos that he said were taken by previous visitors. One was a group posing in the tunnel, and behind them, a small girl in a white dress peers out from behind one of the women, even though there were no children on the tour. Another photo was of the dark, rocky crevice that went back deep to the end of the building from the shoulder-high rock wall of the main tunnel. The space was only maybe 3 feet high, and towards the back was a slightly blurred, but clear enough to make out, figure crouching in the darkness. Not quite human-looking, it didn't look like it was wearing any clothes, and its eyes shined as it looked back at the camera. Our guide said that they gave the figure in the photograph the nickname Gollum because of its similar appearance to the character from The Lord of the Rings. Looking at the picture sent a chill down my spine, and standing there in the dark, I was ready to leave the tunnels and go back above ground. After the tour was done, we got together in the lobby. The experience was very interesting, and at times creepy and unnerving, but nothing we saw was anything that I would call definitively supernatural. So now it was time to explore the rest of the hotel and prepare to spend the night in room 208. I had no idea what to expect that night, but I can say with certainty that what did happen is something that I've replayed over and over again in my head since that night, and it's something that I will likely never forget. Thank you very much for tuning in to part one of our special two-part Halloween episode, Spirits of the Stanley Hotel. Make sure you catch the conclusion of the story next week. You really don't want to miss what happens next. So until next time, have a great week and sweet dreams.